Welcome to the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. My name is Sean Coleman. Hope wherever you are and wherever you are listening that you're having a great start to your Wednesday. And it's another Grizzlies game day. Once again, another stretch in which the Grizzlies will be playing three games in four nights. But the thing about it is that it's going to be some fun action. You know, the Grizzlies are going to need to bounce back from a bit of a slow start to the second half of the season. They're going to have some tough matchups tonight, starting off with the Miami Heat, and obviously this weekend in back-to-back games with the Golden State Warriors coming into town. But there's also going to be plenty of fun narratives and storylines to look at, much more than we typically see in a stretch of three games in four nights. And in the first segment, we'll talk about, you know, those storylines, you know, just some fun narratives that'll be there to follow. I mean, a bit of a backstory, obviously, on some of them, but it'll be fun to see, you know, some familiar faces. Also fun to see, you know, fun for, you know, a Grizzly or two to be facing off against their former teams. In the second segment, we'll continue in part two or three of our Appreciating Jonas series. And the second segment of yesterday's show, today's show, and tomorrow's show, I'm going to be detailing, you know, just what Jonas Valanciunas is meaning to this team from different perspectives, and really, you know, looking to appreciate the great play that he has, you know, offered through his consistency on the court. And in the third segment, we're going to break down, you know, how the Grizzlies can bounce back against the Heat. The Heat will be without some, you know, depth tonight. You know, Jimmy Butler himself may be a bit limited. We'll discuss that in the third segment, but really looking at some details as to why the Grizzlies hopefully can have a chance to get a much-needed win tonight at home against the Heat. Of course, you can find the show at Locked On Grizz, myself at StatsSAC. The podcast where podcasts are available, Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, wherever podcasts may be that you listen, wherever you may listen to podcasts, that's where we will be. We ask that you listen, subscribe, review, let us know what you think of the show, as well as content you might like to be discussed. DM me or the show. We always want to make sure we're offering content that is relevant to our listeners' preferences. Also want to highlight our title sponsor of the show, and that is CBDMD. CBDMD.com makes it even easier to relax, regroup, and recharge. They're offering all our listeners 25% off your next order when you use the promo code NBA at checkout. So obviously this week, you know, I know that we have the Miami game tonight, but I'm not trying to look, you know, the team, nor myself, nor anyone should be looking past Miami, obviously, to at Golden State, which is going to be a very, very, very important back-to-back series for the Grizzlies. But beyond on the court and the importance of the Grizzlies getting back on track, some fun and interesting narratives are certainly there, you know, this week as well, starting with the Miami Heat, obviously. And the first thing is the return of Precious Achiuwa to Memphis, you know, drafted number 20 overall in the 2020 draft by Miami, a guy that many, you know, I said it before the draft, I believe many did, you know, Precious going to a culture and a development system like Miami just seemed perfect. And, you know, he's shown good flashes this year, but him returning to Memphis, you know, is really, really awesome. You know, he really stepped up, you know, through some unexpected developments that happened last year, you know, really stepped up as being, you know, one of, if not the best guy on the Tigers, you know, in a growing year for the program. And so him returning is going to be a lot of fun. He likely will get some minutes, you know, we'll get into the third segment as a few guys that, you know, typically are in the rotation for some minutes for Miami are not going to make the trip to Memphis, but a lot of fun, you know, when it comes to seeing him return. You know, Memphis fans really, you know, came to appreciate his effort and what he meant to the Tigers last year. So seeing him on the court, you know, back on the exact court where he played college ball for the Miami Heat will certainly be fun. Of course, the other narrative that is there that we're kind of not going to get as much of as we might, or we're not going to get to see develop as much as we'd like, but still will be there, of course, is, you know, Miami coming to Memphis really for the first time since last year's, you know, trade in which, you know, Andre Iguodala, Jay Crowder, Solomon Hill went to Miami, and then, you know, obviously Deion Waiters, James Johnson, and Justice Winslow came to Memphis. Now, obviously, Deion Waiters was immediately bought out. James Johnson eventually was traded to Minnesota for Gorgui Dieng. But, of course, the, you know, big, you know, not-so-positive storyline from all of that was, you know, while Jay Crowder and Solomon Hill, through trades, you know, embraced their time in Memphis, you know, did a lot, you know, to help build the culture here with such a young roster, Andre Iguodala, obviously, infamously when it comes to this city, you know, he basically, you know, stood away. He just made it clear that he did not want to be a part of the situation, you know, and, you know, there were some instances where, you know, the Grizzlies young core, they, you know, alluded to it. They you know, pointed it out. So, you know, definitely not the, you know, the best of terms there between Iguodala and the Grizzlies. Well, you know, unfortunately, Iguodala won't be making the trip. Now, you know, you may consider that a positive, you may consider that a negative, but I'm sure that this Grizzlies team would, you know, have loved the opportunity to, you know, play with him on the court. Not that anything negative would have happened, but, you know, just the opportunity to show him, hey, dude, you're wrong. You know, and I think that their play, you know, so far last year and this year has shown that, but, you know, to see his reaction up front, you know, probably would have been, you know, a bit satisfying. But, you know, with all that, he won't be on the court. But on the other side of things, you do get Justice Winslow playing against his former team for the first time since he was injured. You know, the last game that Justice Winslow played before February 20th in a Grizzlies uniform was in a Miami Heat uniform 409 days earlier. And if you talked with Justice, you know, in the media sessions and things like that, you know, he's made reference a few times that, you know, Memphis was a better situation. He's never gotten to the specifics, which he doesn't need to, but he just felt Memphis was a better situation for him. So call it a revenge game, which is fun to do. It probably is to an extent. You know, it's going to be fun to see, you know, obviously Justice Winslow, you know, playing back against his former teammates. And, you know, obviously him sitting out the game against Phoenix, we saw, you know, that we missed his defense. And so he's going to be ready and fresh to play, hopefully a good 20 to 25 minutes. So seeing him, you know, probably have a little bit extra motivation against his former team is going to be a lot of fun. And then obviously with the Warriors coming to town. Now, obviously anytime that you see Steph come to town, you know, it's a big to-do because Steph is Steph, but obviously also is the return of James Wiseman to Memphis for two games, you know, since obviously, you know, how his, you know, college career, which was very short and sweet, his college career, the whole situation with him. Listen, all that aside, there certainly is plenty of interest when it comes to Grizzlies fans and Tigers fans being able to watch kind of how Wiseman has developed, you know, with him being here even before college, you know, and him developing his game and becoming a top recruit in the nation before he went to college. Seeing him up close and personal in the NBA is going to be a lot of fun, you know, especially when it comes to, you know, seeing how he's playing with the Warriors team that, you know, is right there with the Grizzlies in terms of their playoff hopes, you know, trying to make the playoffs, whether it be the play-in game or the playoffs themselves. But seeing James Wiseman on the court as well will be a lot of fun. So just a ton of different narratives that are there. Again, these narratives are nice talking points. They should not, you know, take away from the importance of, you know, how, you know, much the Grizzlies need to improve their play to be able to have the chances in these games, but it is going to be nice to see. You know, I think that Wiseman is still held in rather high regard. I do think that Precious Achiuwa is held in high regard, obviously, and obviously, you know, seeing, you know, Justice faced against his former team, it'll be a very fun development over the next four nights. So some fun things, a reason to get more excited than usual for a three-game and four-night stretch, you know, on most, you know, of those type of stretches when it comes to the regular season, a bit more storylines to follow and enjoy if you're a Grizzlies fan. But one storyline that we certainly hope remains consistent is the production that Jonas Valanciunas has offered. I talked yesterday about how individually he has stayed consistent, but how has he elevated the overall abilities of his teammates as well as this team in general when it comes to their progression since Taylor Jenkins has taken over? Come up, I'll detail that in part two of our Appreciating JV series here on the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. All the fun narratives this week that'll be there to enjoy beyond just the Grizzlies' action on the court against the Heat and the Golden State Warriors. We've got a couple of great opportunities for you this week via the Locker Room app and Locked On Grizzlies. Tonight, I'll actually be hosting a pregame party, I guess you could say, with GBB's own Parker Fleming, just like we did last week, to talk about the matchup against the Heat, breaking down how the Grizzlies might be able to pull out the victory. And then tomorrow night, Thursday at 8 o'clock, I'll be hosting my new weekly episode through Locked On Grizzlies via the Locker Room app, in which we can discuss all things Grizzlies. And that, in general, is the reason why I want to present to you the idea of you downloading the Locker Room app. It's a social audio, social media app that allows for you as a fan to interact with other fans, chat with other fans who are, you know, cheer for the same sports you do, the same teams you do, the same athletes you do, but it's a great way for you to be able to expand your overall experience as a fan. Maybe you're someone who just likes to talk sports. Maybe you're someone who's aspiring to get into sports content creation. It's a great way to do both. All you got to do is go to the App Store, download the Locker Room app, and it comes right to your phone and is easy to use. It's free, it's easy, and it allows for you maybe even to be able to talk to some of your favorite athletes and sports personalities. Personally, I've been able to talk to names like Nate Duncan, Keith Smith, Mark Stein, and Miles Turner, all through interactions on the Locker Room app. Don't forget to go to the App Store, download the Locker Room app for free, and make it a part of your daily routine. And also don't forget tonight, our pregame party with Parker Fleming and the Grizzly Bear Blues website, as well as tomorrow night, Thursday, March 18th, our regular weekly episode at 8 o'clock, discussing all things Grizzlies. This episode is sponsored by Blue Chew. Blue Chew is making waves and bringing more confidence to the bedroom. Blue Chew is a unique online service that delivers the same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, but in chewable form and a fraction of the cost. Blue Chew's tablets combat all forms of ED and can help men gain extra confidence for when it's time to perform. Blue Chew is an online prescription service, so no visits to the doctor's office, no awkward conversations, and no waiting in line in the pharmacy. And it ships right to your door in a discreet package. The process is simple. Sign up at BlueChew.com, consult with one of their licensed medical providers, and once you've approved, you'll receive your prescriptions within days. The best part, it's all done online. Blue Chew's licensed medical providers work with you to find the right ingredient and strength for your prescription. Don't like swallowing pills? No problems here. Blue Chew's Sildenafil and Tadalafil tablets are chewable. Blue Chew's tablets are made in the USA, and they prepare and ship direct, so it's cheaper than a pharmacy. So if you could benefit with extra confidence when it's time to perform, visit BlueChew.com for more details and important safety information. And we've got a special deal for you. Try Blue Chew free when you use your promo code LOCKEDON at checkout. Just pay $5 shipping. That's BlueChew.com, promo code LOCKEDON, to receive your first month free. And we thank Blue Chew for sponsoring this podcast. So let's talk a bit more about Jonas Valanciunas. Yesterday, I discussed, when it came to Jonas, the impact he is making, the overall benefit that he is offering when it comes to his individual production. But the thing about it is this, is that adding to his overall level of ability to produce and ability to play is what he does for others and what he's done for this franchise. Now, if you recall, we're coming up, you know, we're close, you know, it's now been 21 months since the Grizzlies extended Jonas Valanciunas for 3 years and $45 million. And there was a lot of debate, you know, was it worth it? Do we need to make that type of deal? You know, do we really need to sit here and bring in a productive but probably limited traditional center when it comes to high leverage and playoff situations to a team that probably needs to continue to be in the lottery to really develop? Thing is, though, is that yes, Jonas has been worth every penny that the Grizzlies have paid him, if not more, because there's been so many levels, you know, beyond what he's done individually that he's done for others. Now, obviously, that starts with the natural ability that he has shown next to Jaren Jackson Jr. Jaren Jackson Jr. and Jonas Valanciunas is about as good of a compliment to Jaren Jackson Jr. as you can find. In my opinion, though it may, however much significance you want to put on it, Jonas's ability to take care of the five as good as he does has really allowed Taylor Jenkins and Jaren to focus on the overall offensive strengths. You know, we talk about when it comes to players' development, a lot of times when players on certain teams consistently reach levels that are higher than many expected for them, like their ceiling has gone above what many expected for them when they were prospects, it's because those teams focus on what they're good at instead of trying to force them to get better at the things they're not necessarily that good at as the primary focus of their development. Well, if Jonas would not have been here, the Grizzlies, you know, I'm not saying Taylor Jenkins would have done this, but there may have been more, you know, pressure to play Jaren at the five, to make him bang down low, to make him play more of an inside game, instead of seeing just how beautifully he has blossomed as an outside threat at the four. Now, I can see the advantages of eventually wanting Jaren at the five. But I also could see the advantages of keeping him at the four, and especially with the way Taylor Jenkins does things, I really think that he can make Jaren into an all-star caliber type of offensive player. But a reason why Jaren, when he's been on the court, has developed so beautifully in terms of being an outside threat is because Jonas takes care of the things that Jaren kind of struggles with. The rebounding, obviously, the fouling, and also he also has allowed Jaren to bang less down low, which as we can see as Jaren career has progressed. Yes, he's had some injury concerns, but I do think that the fact that he has not been banging down low consistently, that has helped him stay in place as far as his body type goes. So in many different ways, Jonas has certainly been a compliment to Jaren, and I do think that because of the things Jonas has focused on and the production that he's faced in those areas, that has allowed more attention to be paid to Jaren's development as an outside threat, and we obviously have seen the results of what that could be. Hopefully, we'll be able to see it consistently once he comes back. But it's not just Jaren. It's Ja as well. So it's how Jonas has really developed the game of not only the guy who probably is the second, biggest part of our future in Jaren, but also the guy who clearly is the franchise in Ja Morant. The numbers themselves are staggering. There is significantly more production from Ja Morant when Jonas Valanciunas is on the court. And it's because of the space that Jonas can create for Ja in the pick and roll, as well as the chemistry that the two have for Ja to create opportunities for Jonas down low, and also the space that Jonas can create trailing Ja when Ja goes into the lane to try his shots, or being there as a dump-off option, or being able to help kind of guide Ja through the paint at times with his size. Kind of like a fullback leading a running back at times, almost off the screen. Jonas helps Ja out just as much as he does Jaren, and that really allows for this Grizzlies team, with how Jonas supports Ja, it really allows the consistency through both of them in the half court to establish a production in the paint, establish their identity, establish a presence in the paint, not only in the half court, but that half court production is complemented by what the Grizzlies do off the turnover. So the Grizzlies are consistently, outproducing their opponents by 15, 25 to 20 points per game in the paint, to the point that Jonas's ability in the paint and his ability to help others get in the paint as well has allowed for the Grizzlies to arguably be the most productive paint team over the past 2 years in which Taylor Jenkins has been head coach. And that in of itself, we talk about how Jonas has supported Jaren. We talk about how he opens up the game more for Ja, and we talk about how his paint production obviously has made that a strength. Well, that now, since it's become such an established strength, has opened up other opportunities that has allowed for the Grizzlies at times this season to obviously show they've taken a step forward when it comes to their shooting. So on so many different levels, from helping the main two young core pieces of this Grizzlies team improving their development and play much better when he's on the court versus when he's off, that's the one thing that Jonas has offered outside of the box score. But the other thing is that not only has he helped this Grizzlies team establish their clear strength of producing in the paint, he now has done such a good job making that a staple of this Grizzlies offense that they've been able to find ways to work off of it to expand their offense, take it to new levels, and make it more consistent at times this year. So yes, Jonas's individual production certainly is a big reason for the value that he offers to the Grizzlies, but there are clear and easy ways to show that he's not only made Jaren better, he's made Ja better, and overall, he's helped this Grizzlies team continue to evolve by the relationship that he has. And this is not even mentioning what he does off the court, where he considers this group of family kind of in the big brother role, since he is a veteran, but how he's really embraced the young core that's here, and just the overall love that this roster has. You could say that about anybody, but it's especially true for Jonas. Anytime that we talk to him in the media sessions, it's clear how special he feels the bond between this team is, and that's awesome to see. And it's what fuels him to consistently play at a high level. So yes, Jonas's individual production is a big reason for why he's been successful in a Grizzlies uniform with this roster. But how he supports others through his production, and also what he's helped do in the evolution of Ja, Jaren, and this team in general, it's clear, and that's what's made him so valuable, probably more valuable than many, such as myself at times, would may be willing to admit, but his value is clearly there on a lot of different levels that has made this team better than many have expected up to this point. Well, one area that I can tell you, you know, it would be a great time now for the Grizzlies to be better than they have been playing, you know, over the past few games, for them to be able to get off to a needed start to this three-game and four-night stretch against the Miami Heat. The Miami Heat are playing better, but there may be some, you know, a silver lining to this game for the Grizzlies. Some players will be out for Miami. Perhaps their best players may be a bit banged up as well. A game that Miami right now, you know, may be considered the favorite in different places, but I do think is very winnable for the Grizzlies. Coming up, we'll discuss how the Grizzlies could find success in an area or two where they may struggle in tonight's game against the Heat. I've been telling you about Built Bar, the great-tasting, best-tasting protein bar on the market for a while now. Built Bar is the amazing low-calorie, low-sugar, high-protein, high-fiber, amazing tasting protein bar with 100% chocolate on all bars. Now is the time to find out which Built Bar is the best. It is Built Bar Madness. Today's matchup is peanut butter versus coconut puff, and I'm going to tell you straightforward, peanut butter has my vote. But here is your opportunity to give us what you think. Head to BuiltBar.com or go to bar_built on Twitter for the links to be able to vote on your favorite tasting Built Bar product. Remember to use the promo code LOCKED15 to get 15% off your next order. That is LOCKED15 to get 15% off your next order at BuiltBar.com. And check back to see who won today's matchup and who will become the best tasting protein bar in the Built Bar March Madness tournament. Football has now been over for 6 weeks, but the great thing about it is that we head closer as we get closer and closer to the start of spring. There are plenty of other sports to enjoy. The NBA second half of the season leading to the playoffs is now in full session. The NHL is the same way. Baseball's on the horizon. UFC, so many other things to enjoy are out there, and especially with March Madness starting this week. And a part of your enjoyment of being a fan is wagering and betting on sports. We've got the best and most trusted place for you to go to allow for you to enjoy your fandom when it comes to betting, and that's betonline.ag. The fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Football might be over, but NBA, college basketball, and the NHL are in full swing. BetOnline even covers awards, TV shows, and reality TV. Real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Head to the website or use the mobile device and use the promo code LOCKEDON to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbooks experts. Again, use the promo code LOCKEDON to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. It's Small Market Meets Big Market Wednesdays on the Locked On NBA podcast. Join Jake Madison of the Locked On Pelicans podcast and John Corrales of Locked On Celtics for a look at the NBA from all angles. Follow the Locked On NBA podcast today wherever you get your podcasts. So tonight, the Grizzlies welcome the Miami Heat to the FedEx Forum in a game in which the Grizzlies really need to right the ship, really need to get back going on the right track. But as we mentioned, you know, it doesn't get any easier, you know, following, you know, their, you know, hard-to-explain loss on Sunday, and then, you know, also their loss on Monday against arguably a team that's been, you know, the best team, you know, in the NBA since, you know, or at least over the past month, in the Phoenix Suns. It doesn't get much easier for the Grizzlies as they welcome the Miami Heat to the FedEx Forum. Now, if you've been following the NBA this season, you know, the Heat got off to a very slow start to the season, and, you know, you may not have heard much about them over the past month or 6 weeks, but that's exactly why they've been having success. This Heat team is 11-4 over the past 6 weeks. They're one of the hottest teams, since Valentine's Day. They're one of the hottest teams in the NBA, and they've really made a move to once again show that they clearly are in the playoff discussion when it comes to the Eastern Conference. And one of the biggest reasons why, of course, is Jimmy Butler. Now, for this Heat team, a couple of things to be reminded of is that they're going to be without some depth tonight as far as their team goes. Avery Bradley, Mo Harkless, and Andre Iguodala, none of them made the trip. Jimmy Butler did, though it seems like Jimmy Butler himself may be a bit hampered with an ankle injury, though I'm sure it's going to allow for him to play. Think about it is that this Heat team, there's not, you know, it's Heat culture, we hear about it. This isn't the same team that it was from last year, but this team is still just as good defensively at times as it was last year, and that is what has really fueled their success. Since the since Valentine's Day, a stretch of games in which the Heat have gone basically 11-3 in 14 games. They lead the NBA in lowest opponent's field goal percentage, and also in fewest opponent's points scored per game. And the thing about it is this, is that it's going to likely be a low-scoring game tonight, because the Heat themselves over that same stretch are 25th in points per game since Valentine's Day. But overall, this team is third in the NBA in defensive rating so far this season, and they are extremely, extremely good at different at all aspects of defense. Number one, they allow the fewest two-point attempts per game in the NBA, and they're sixth in opponents' two-point field goal percentage. You will be able to get three-point shots off against them. That's one thing that the Grizzlies might be able to find success doing tonight, is shooting the three, at least frequently being able to attempt the three. But this Heat team will get out and contest, as they're in the top 10 of the league when it comes to defending the three. They also are they're second in the league in blocks, and they're eighth in the league in terms of causing turnovers. So they're not going to cause many steals. They're 27th in the league in steals, but they get a lot of their turnovers from being able to deny at the rim. So this is going to be another game in which a team is going to really clog the paint against the Grizzlies, knowing that that's where the Grizzlies like to operate and where they have their success. So the way that the Grizzlies are hopefully going to adjust is that if they're facing a team that allows the fewest shot attempts inside the arc and is sixth in the league at defending two-point shot attempts, they're going to have to find their ability to score outside, because this is one of the worst teams when it comes to allowing three-point attempts, though they're good at defending it. In other words, for the Grizzlies to be able to find ways to win this game, they're going to have to find good looks and shoot from distance, and that's going to be a tall task, because though this Heat team does allow assists, with as good as they are defensively, the Grizzlies' ability to pass to the outside for shots is going to be a big key for them to win the game. However, this also may be an opportunity for the Grizzlies to really find the opportunity to use their defense to create offense, because the Heat themselves are 27th in the league when it comes to taking care of the basketball. They commit 15.3 turnovers per game, which is 25th in the league. This team also is not a very good rebounding team. They themselves not only are 30th in the league when it comes to getting offensive rebounds, they're 28th in the league when it comes to allowing offensive rebounds. So though Jonas Valanciunas, Brandon Clark, Xavier Tillman, and others may find it hard to get their shots in the paint without being contested, they should find some success both corralling defensive rebounds as well as getting offensive rebounds, and the return of Justice Winslow and our guards should help on the rebounding end as well. So this is a game where, yes, the Heat are probably going to, in terms of, you know, half-court defense and in terms of the actual structure of defense, they're going to be able to likely effectively guard the Grizzlies, because that's what's led them to success. But the Grizzlies can find advantages in ways that they found advantages consistently throughout the season. Those hustle areas where they can gain extra possessions, offensive rebounds, creating turnovers, things such as that. If the Grizzlies can win those categories, plus be able to find some success shooting from distance, I think that they can win tonight's game. But of course, the big difference maker for this Heat team is Jimmy Butler. 21.7 points on the season, 7.5 rebounds, and 7.8 assists. Playing his regular great defense, he probably is not in the MVP discussion himself because of the total amount of games that he's played, but he certainly is playing to an MVP level. Also, Bam Adebayo is certainly performing, you know, as well. Duncan Robinson has kind of taken a step back when it comes to his threes this year, but the Heat still have several, 7 to 9 different players who hit more than one three each game. So while they may not be that good shooting the three, they certainly do have different players. They have a roster full of players who will shoot the three. So at any one time, obviously, they will have multiple shooters. So the Grizzlies have to stay disciplined as well. Again, this is a winnable game for Memphis, especially if they can find some success from the outside and they can implement their own strengths defensively when it comes to the boards as well as turning the ball over. But if this Grizzlies team were to struggle being able to find offense, the Heat are a disciplined enough team to where they will find offense themselves to make the difference. So staying aggressive, staying disciplined on defense, and also really being efficient and making the flow of the offense work, finding success where you can on in the paint. And then from there, working off of that to find shots from the outside will be the key for the Grizzlies tonight as they welcome Precious Achiuwa, Jimmy Butler, Bam Adebayo, and the Heat to the FedEx Forum. We hope that you enjoy the game. Also, it certainly seems like it could be in another eventful weather day. So if you're listening to the show in the Memphis area, hope that you stay safe as well. Again, you can find the podcast wherever podcasts are available. Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts. Don't forget to enjoy our pregame watch party tonight when it comes to me and Parker Fleming from Grizzly Bear Blues discussing all things Grizzlies and Heat. We'll also discuss several of the opportunities that are coming up this week against the Golden State Warriors. Make sure to check that out. We're really looking forward to enjoying conversation with fellow Grizzlies fans. My name is Sean Coleman. It's a pleasure to speak with you. We'll talk to you again soon here on the Locked On Grizzlies podcast.